Have you ever noticed how happiness remains elusive despite shelves of advice books? For over two millennia, humans have pursued the same question: what makes a good life? The refreshing insight from The Art of the Good Life is that there's no single principle guaranteeing happiness. Instead, we need a mental toolkit to navigate our increasingly complex world. This book has quietly become essential reading among Silicon Valley executives and Wall Street investors. Warren Buffett reportedly keeps it on his nightstand. Unlike flashy bestsellers promising overnight transformation, this approach blends ancient wisdom with modern psychology to create practical strategies for living well in our counterintuitive reality. That parking ticket that ruined your morning? It's all in how you frame it. Mental accounting transforms annoying expenses through psychological shifts. I mentally deduct parking tickets from my donation budget, reframing a fine as a contribution to public services. Adding 50% to prices accounts for income taxes, enabling more realistic purchasing decisions. Paying for hotels in advance eliminates end-of-trip bill shock while maintaining perspective by comparing my city to less appealing tax-free alternatives. Perhaps most liberating is becoming indifferent to small price differences. Why waste energy comparing nearly identical prices? From Benedictine monks comes temporal mental accounting, seeing each day as a gift beyond what you've already lived. This extends to waiting times. By avoiding agitation about delays, you reclaim the very time you're supposedly losing. Life's irritations can't be eliminated, but by reframing them through mental accounting, your experience transforms. This isn't denying reality, it's choosing the most beneficial interpretation of it. Like commercial aircraft that deviate from their course 90% of the time yet reach their destinations, our lives require perpetual adjustment rather than perfect initial setup. We overestimate starting conditions and underestimate ongoing corrections. Nature demonstrates this through our body's constant DNA repair, temperature regulation, and infection response. Relationships thrive not on perfect partner selection, but continuous fine-tuning. Successful marriages depend on partners' willingness to adapt. We often resist correction, interpreting adjustments as failures of our original plan, but as Eisenhower noted, plans are nothing, planning is everything. Our education system emphasizes initial setup, grades, degrees, over the crucial ability to self-correct. Emotional intelligence and adaptability often predict career advancement better than traditional metrics. Reid Hoffman pivoted LinkedIn's business model multiple times before finding success. There's no perfect business strategy or ideal job. These myths paralyze decision-making. In our complex world, your starting point matters less than your ability to adapt. Invest in swift correction without guilt rather than perfect beginnings. The ability to adjust course may be the most valuable skill in our rapidly changing world. When Spanish conquistador Hernan Cortes burned his ships upon arriving in Mexico, he eliminated retreat as an option, creating unprecedented motivation. This radical inflexibility can be remarkably effective for achieving goals, whether it's a CEO refusing dessert or a professor pledging never to work weekends. This approach works for two key reasons. It eliminates decision fatigue, the mental drain from constantly weighing options among the 35,000 decisions adults make daily. It also builds a reputation that signals non-negotiable boundaries, reducing vulnerability to manipulation. Warren Buffett's one-offer-only approach demonstrates how inflexibility creates advantage. People give him their best price immediately. Complementing strategic inflexibility is black box thinking from aviation. After crashes, investigators analyze what went wrong to prevent similar accidents. Unlike this model, humans resist confronting failures, preferring to redirect focus or rationalize disappointments. We attribute failures to external factors rather than examining our decisions. Create your personal black box by documenting your decision-making process for important choices. When things go wrong, analyze your recorded assumptions to identify errors and look for patterns in your mistakes. Do you overestimate abilities, underestimate risks, or let emotions cloud judgment? With each analyzed failure, your decision frameworks and self-awareness improve. What appears efficient often isn't upon closer examination. Cars seem faster than walking, but when accounting for purchase costs, maintenance, insurance, and traffic time, the average American car in the 1970s moved at just 3.7 miles per hour, essentially walking pace. This counterproductivity extends beyond transportation. Email, seemingly instant and free, actually costs about $1 per relevant message when considering hidden costs, time filtering spam, reading irrelevant messages, and managing digital infrastructure. Technology frequently undermines its promised benefits. Digital cameras simplified photography but created challenges of overwhelming photo libraries, requiring organization and backup systems. The solution requires a nuanced approach to technology. First, minimize dependencies by critically evaluating each new tool. Second, avoid unnecessary gadgets by questioning whether they solve real problems or create new ones. Third, implement regular technology audits to eliminate redundant tools. Finally, embrace simplicity. Analog solutions like paper notebooks often prove more effective than digital counterparts. Before adopting any new system, analyze its total cost in money, time, attention, and mental energy. The path to a good life lies not in pursuing happiness directly, but in eliminating what makes us miserable. While factors contributing to happiness can be vague, we can precisely identify what ruins it: chronic stress, noise, lengthy commutes, unfulfilling jobs, debt, loneliness, sleep deprivation, and toxic relationships. These negative factors don't follow hedonic adaptation. People don't simply get used to them. Instead, they create a persistent drain on well-being. Chronic sleep deprivation impairs cognition and increases depression risk, while toxic work environments continuously generate stress hormones affecting both mental and physical health. This approach mirrors Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger's investment philosophy, focusing first on avoiding downside risks rather than chasing spectacular gains. Charlie and I have not learned how to solve difficult business problems. What we have learned is to avoid them, Buffett notes. The good life isn't about continuously adding positive elements, but methodically removing factors that diminish quality of life. When Roman philosopher Boethius awaited execution in 523 AD, he wrote The Consolation of Philosophy. His key insight: accept fortune's unpredictable cycles, not as resignation, but as clear recognition of reality. Everything we value, health, loved ones, possessions, are temporary loans that can be reclaimed anytime. This doesn't mean avoiding life's pleasures, but maintaining perspective about their impermanence. Consider how many permanent things have already changed in your life: homes, relationships, careers. What remains truly yours is your mental fortress, your thoughts and interpretations of setbacks. This inner citadel develops through daily practice, meditation, reflection, reading, and conscious framing of experiences. Like a muscle, mental resilience strengthens with consistent exercise. True happiness resides not in status or possessions, but in maintaining perspective regardless of circumstances. Modern research increasingly validates these ancient insights about resilience and well-being. By cultivating this inner refuge, you create a sanctuary that remains intact when everything else is taken away, allowing you to face challenges with grace and wisdom, just as Boethius did.